the boundaries were, clear. The rules were clear, right? You knew what you could do. You knew what you couldn't do. They had a policy of, everybody's allowed to ask for what it is that they want to, right? You can come and ask somebody for things. That other person then has the ability to say no, but you shouldn't shame people for asking for something. But then, once you say no, that's it. And you don't have to say no twice. And I just found that that made me feel so safe.
It's gonna be really emotional.
There is no loss for being honest.
The real work of life is the work that we do inside ourselves. The
responsibility we feel towards the world, like questioning, challenging, say something.
Raw and vulnerable and open conversation.
That was the best part. I'm scared of the friendship.
Taking a breath. Just talk.
Shame and guilt. Vulnerabilities.
That was about to be my thing.
What does it really mean to be friends?
We trust
the
you.
Real work that we do is overcoming our insecurities every day and learning how to love more.
As examples of the change we want to see in the world.
Just talk.
Taking a breath. So if we just take a breath.
Well, my face is on fire from the doctors. To have healthier relationships with women, they need healthier relationships with other men.
The real work of life is the work that we do inside ourselves.
So I'm in an open relationship with my husband, and my husband and I sold our house 10 months ago. We have twins that are 4 years old, we travel around the world, and this is my boyfriend.
Hi.
Perfect. Hi.
Hi, welcome back to Amory, where it's our intention to put more love into the world, one vulnerable conversation at a time. I had such a fun time talking with this next guest. Her name is Amanda Wilson, and she's one of the co-founders of the dating app called #Open. Now, just to be upfront about this, this is not a sponsorship opportunity. I reached out to them. There's no exchange of payment in this. I really just wanted to get her take on everything that's going on in her world regarding the app, specifically the censorship that they experienced recently via the Google Play Store. But as you'll see, our conversation is so much more than that. It's really her background, what got her and her partner into the idea of even creating this app, in which it's foundational to share, to speak openly, to create transparency and what people are looking for in the dating world. I love her philosophy and their philosophy. You'll hear us talk about parenting, polyamorous parenting. We will talk about threesomes, kink, and so much more. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. If you do, please give the app a chance. Again, this is, they're not paying me to say this. I really do think that we need to support and show by downloading programs that create open, honest, ethical communication. And I know that there are a lot of dating apps out there, but this one specifically is made for open communication. And I think that's where, for me personally, I want to put my energy. So again, enjoy the conversation with Amanda and download the app. I'll see you on there if that's the case. And let us know what you think about this episode. You can give us feedback, reach out to us, or #open on Instagram, all the good stuff. And if you liked it, share it. Thanks so much for listening. Bye. Okay, one more quick thing before you hop into the podcast. Whether or not you're new to Amory or you've been listening for a while, I just wanted to remind you that the reason that we can keep recording these and sharing them is from our support through our patrons. So we would really love if you consider, if you enjoy the podcast, that you take a look at our Patreon page. The link is in our bio on Instagram or it's in the show notes. And thank you, thank you, thank you. If you're a current patron, we love and thank you for your support of this program and these conversations. Also, remember that we've got a course, an online course called Transforming Jealousy. If you are open and if you are going through feelings of jealousy, we created this course for you. It is super accessible. It is pay what you want, anything over $20. And everything's right there. There are hours of unique audios created just for the topic of jealousy so that you can be supported in going through your process in opening up your relationship or being in an open relationship. So, okay, that's it. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the podcast.
Hi, Amanda. How are you today?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am doing excellent. I am so excited for our conversation. So as our audience knows at this point, you are one of the founders, co-founders of Hashtag Open. And you or your organization, I stumbled into by happen chance because somebody that I'm connected to, Mariana, who wrote a book called The Color Named Love, was invited to be on a panel. You not only are an app, a dating app that's very open, you also, your company puts together educational pieces. And I love that. And so Mariana told me about it and I was invited on a panel through Hashtag Open to talk about my experience as a polyamorous parent. So that's how you and I sort of got connected.
Yes. But, and that was a great Hashtag Open it. It was wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much. And so I reached out to you when I realized that the Hashtag Open app had gotten censored from Google Play, albeit I think temporarily, but I was like, oh my God, I want to talk to somebody there. And I just so appreciate you putting yourself out so that we could talk about really that and so much more. I would love to start at the beginning if you could introduce yourself to the Amory audience and maybe let us know what got you started down the path that ultimately led you to creating this app.
So my name is Amanda Wilson and my partner is David. And we met about 7 years ago on a dating app. It was Thrender at the time. It is now Field. And, you know, as soon as we met, we kind of realized that there was this power, I'll say, around really just being upfront about what your sexual, you know, needs, wants, and desires are, and that gave us a real foundation to really talk about anything else. So it's kind of funny how, you know, once you start having conversations and communicating about sex, communicating about the dishes or who's going to pick up the kids, it kind of becomes a lot easier. And we are so different. David and I are as different as we can be, but have this strong foundation that we kept coming back to because sex is so important. It's important for us. It's important for our relationship. And I think it's important for society to talk openly about sex. And we thought there was a real power behind kind of bringing people together where they could just talk openly and honestly about what it is that they're looking for. I kind of also call it a relationship choice approach. And, you know, if you know that you're looking for something that is different from monogamy, and maybe you don't even really know what that is yet, but, you know, you want to create this different kind of type of relationship for yourself, well, it just makes sense to look for people that are looking for that same type of relationship. And, you know, I also claim that Hashtag Open success will make all of the other dating apps much more successful, just because you're, you know, other dating apps are kind of set up for this kind of binary connection. And a lot of people have to use a lot of workarounds because the apps aren't really made for them, right? They're made for, honestly, a lot of them are made to collect your data so that they can sell. And that's how the app, you know, owners have become profitable. But, you know, we wanted to create a platform where your data was just an extension of who you are as a human being. And, you know, we treat that data as respectfully as we would treat a person, and a platform that you really just encourages people to talk about things and be upfront, and which takes a lot of trust. But we have an exceptional community of people that are there, and they're excited to talk about people that are doing things a little differently.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God! Thank you for creating this, space. Yeah. Thank you for leading with your values. And I think that is why this is such an important conversation for me, because I keep seeing again and again how I desire to be open. I desire to be transparent, to have trusting relationships and open communication. And then the funny thing is just how shut down that is in our public space still. So it is truly intriguing to me. And I'm sure we'll get more into the censorship conversation, because I think that's where all of this is leading. So Amanda, I would love to understand a little bit more of your backstory, if you feel comfortable sharing it, if you are in an open relationship, if you have been, if that was one of the motivators for this, or if it just happens to be a container to hold this space to share being in an open relationship.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't, know that I was necessarily going for an open relationship when I met David. I know that I was going for a relationship that was just open and honest and transparent. You know, I don't believe that our sexual desires, you know, for other people are just, they don't just go poof away as soon as we find somebody that we want to be in a partnership with. And, you know, I always had this idea in my mind that, like, if my partner is going to, you know, step outside of our relationship, well, one, they always have the option to do that regardless, right? But if they're going to do it, I want them to come back and talk to me about it. I want it to be a decision that we make together. And as you were saying, just kind of having that open, honest communication, people, it scares people sometimes, which is kind of funny because, you know, you're really just being open and they have the ability to, you know, take in any information that you give. But so I knew that I wanted to just do something different. And when I found Thrinder, I thought, well, this is just really kind of different. It felt more sex positive in the fact that, you know, it was originally designed for just three people. So you had couples that were connecting with, you know, singles. And to me, it just felt like it was more of a open and honest dynamic because you had the ability to have couples in there talking. And so when David and I met, and he had just come out of a 20-year successful marriage, but, you know, they decided to get divorced and go their separate ways. But so we just wanted to have this different relationship that we designed. And so I'm just a total nerd and, you know, went out and bought every single book that I could, which wasn't actually that many. You know, at the time, you know, we have that, The Ethical Slut, we have Opening Up, and Dr. Powell's book, which is not coming to me right now, but Open Up, I believe. And once I started reading all of these books, they kind of all had the same core. And that core was just finding out what your values are, finding out what you want for life, what you want out of a relationship, how that relationship can add to your life, you know, not take away. And it was really just about boundaries, which was a word that I didn't know. I mean, I didn't grow up with boundaries. That was just not a concept that my family understood. And
Exactly.
we still don't, you know. I'm one of four girls and we are totally enmeshed in each other's lives and there aren't any boundaries. But having those and realizing that you can just be your authentic self. And if you find the right partner, that partner is going to encourage you to keep finding yourself and keep changing. And they're gonna allow you to change and change with you. So that was a very long way of saying that, you know, David and I are in an open relationship. We consider it to be open together. You know, anything that we do it with each other, and which I think is just a good foundation to start. And then, you know, as I said, we just kind of started looking at other dating apps and just realizing that there was just not a platform for people that wanted to really just design the relationship how they want to do it. And truly, as long as two people are communicating with each other and working inside of, you know, the boundaries that they set for each other, why should anybody care what their, you know, relationship style is? That kind of boggles my mind. Yeah, as long as you're putting consent, you know, first and foremost, then that to me is the most important, not whether you're monogamous or monogamous or, you know, whatever have you.
Oh my gosh. Yes, and yes. So I am going to speak to so many points on that. I think one little nod to you is talking about David's past 20-year marriage as successful. I think that's a beautiful reframing of how society views as ending a marriage is that it was unsuccessful as it ended in divorce. But I think that shows just your take on relationships and relationships that there's no standard, like what is success in a relationship? And that's one thing through Amory that I really try to redefine is relationships are learning vehicles. It's successful as long as we say it's successful. If we feel like we've learned something about ourselves, about what we want, and to your point on creating relationships that we desire, I think that's actually a really confronting question because we're so used to this standard model.
In society right now, monogamy is the default option. And you know, one thing that I would love to kind of change and teach the world and teach our next generation of people growing up, that I would like to even kind of reframe the conversation to like conscious monogamy, right? Like,
yes.
I mean, I think monogamy is wonderful. It's a perfectly valid, you know, relationship paradigm for people that make it work. I just believe that it doesn't work for everybody, but you know, once we give people a choice that you can choose monogamy or you can choose something else. So I think that gives them the freedom to really, you know, thrive inside of their relationship rather than it just being put upon them as this is it. This is the only way that you can get married, you can be successful, and that, you know, you can be seen in society as whatever. I mean,
agreed. I think it's that choice, that conscious choice. And I was in a really beautiful monogamous marriage for a very long time. So I also think that it's not only choosing what we want, but it's choosing what we want at that point in our lives, based on our current needs, based on what's going on. I mean, what I needed when I was in my 20s is different now than my 40s. And I'm sure that that will continue to change. Bringing that back to the app, I'm just so curious. This is, and so that our audience knows, this is not a long commercial for hashtag open. I just happen to be very interested in the creation of this. I am curious, how did you go from, wow, there's a niche here that's kind of missing in these apps, to like, wow, let's create this.
We just really, it came to a point in our lives. You know, I was in school and studying, and David was just a serial entrepreneur. And it's funny how the universe kind of will come together when you're meant to do something. And we just found ourselves at a point in time in our life where we had the time, we had the ability, we had the resources, and we saw that there was just such a growing need for what we were making. I just truly feel that a platform that is really, I mean, we're users, right? We still use hashtag open. So it is a platform built for users by users. So we built it with all of the respect and trust that we would want, that we needed out of our users in order for the community to work and thrive. And so we just kind of jumped in and honestly thought it would be a little bit easier than it has been.
Yeah. What have you learned along this path?
Well, I grew up in the South, and, you know, my sexual education was basically, are you married? No. Okay, well, then why would anybody be talking to you about sex? it was absent. I mean, I grew up in the True Love Waits era, where, I don't know if you know what that is, but back in the 80s or 90s, they would come around and, I mean, I signed a pledge and they gave me a little box that was supposed to represent my virginity, that, you know, that I was going to give away. And so I knew that the world was kind of sex negative. I didn't realize how difficult it would be to promote a sex positive product, really. And we have traveled across the United States, and we were fortunate to kind of hook up with Dan Savage and his Hump Film Festival. So, you know, we went to 17 different cities promoting hashtag open, and just, we got such a overwhelming positive reception from everybody that we talked to, and just saying that we have a sex positive platform. So we just, you know, we really saw that there truly was a need for something like this, but trying to advertise that and get the word out, you know, on a high level, doing the conventions and doing the Hump Film Festival was great for kind of word of mouth and grassroots. But we really need the ability to promote our product to, you know, the thousands at one time. And that has been impossible.
Let's dig into that, because that is where I'm seeing, not only in hashtag open and the ability to promote a sex positive dating platform, but also the world at large. We will keep our conversation fairly focused on this topic, because I think that's the one you're familiar with, but I'm just seeing the patterns again and again on big gatekeepers. And, you know, I love systems thinking. I love looking at the world, not as good or bad, but from the systemic lens, that is, we have a set of beliefs that then guides our behavior in general. We're talking humanity, right? And when people get into certain positions of power, when they're using certain frameworks to guide decision-making processes, then we're going to keep getting the same repeated behavior. And I keep seeing it everywhere, which is, we're shutting down conversations that are scary, or different or outside of the norm. And we just keep censoring them and shutting them down. And I think that actually is going to lead to even more problems. I think our inability to discuss openly the things that matter to us, from our health to our sex lives to the type of world that we want to create. I mean, I'm frustrated in seeing what we've seen. And again, this is why I use Amory and my platform to open up these dialogues. So I'm so, so curious on your firsthand experience of being censored like that. So please tell us what your take is.
Yes. I mean, right as we kind of came into launching hashtag open, there were a set of laws, SESTA FOSTA, that came into place. And really what that did is just made the big companies just totally scared of sex. Anything that is just sex related, they've thrown it into a too tough pile. And so, you know, we reached out to Facebook to advertise and they denied us, saying that because we offer a couple profiles, that we were put into a category of, you know, sexual gratification, to which they have a no tolerance policy for that. Which is crazy because, you know, just looking on Facebook, you can look up different, you know, polyamory groups. And I mean, I searched for about 3 minutes and found 300,000 different people in different groups. So part of what they said is that what we had didn't give their users, it didn't follow along the standards of their users. So, which is, again, just crazy because they're obviously not really looking at their users, but
their
user base. Yeah. And so, you know, they denied us, and Facebook is really kind of they set the standard for everything. And of course, you know, Facebook owns Instagram. And so we couldn't advertise on any of those. You know, Reddit, I think, would let us advertise, but we had to make like a $50,000 a month commitment for 6 months, is basically just a way to tell you no. So we haven't been able to advertise as of yet on the internet. I mean, it's the internet.
Wow.
It's exceptionally frustrating and a double standard, because we know that other apps, recently we got bumped from the Google Play Store, and in part because in our ASO, your App Store optimization, you use just different keywords so that people, when they type in those keywords, they can be brought to you. And we were kicked out for using three words: threesome, the number three with the word some, and DTF, and I actually remember what that fourth one was. So, but the DTF one was really just kind of my favorite, because that was OkCupid's campaign for many years.
It is ridiculous. I want to say, was the fourth one kinky?
Yes. Kinky dates. So yeah, threesome, DTF, and kinky dates. And for a little bit of background information, at the time, Caroline Rose Giuliani, which is, you know, from a very predominant political family, came out and wrote an article about how having sex with couples really just allowed her to get to know herself. And she, you know, she feels like she's just this whole new person because of the threesomes that she's had. So,
and I read that article and it was beautiful. And so it was open and honest. And yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead. I interrupted.
No, it was great. And so, because you know those keywords, the way that they trend and stuff like that, you know, we updated our ASO to include some of those words, and it just got kicked back, and they just bumped us, and they bumped us for, you know, 10 days.
And so what you had to do was remove those words. Resolve that?
So that's where it gets even a little bit more tricky. They told us that we had to remove those words. I just refused to take out threesomes because it was just too important at the time. And they approved us and put us back in, which makes it even more arbitrary and frustrating.
It really does. It really does. It is so tricky to navigate. Again, not only this situation, but so many situations in the world right now where it does feel like, well, this is the rule here, but not the rule. And then it's going to change over here. So
let me just read this for you. So, because it sounds really good. Facebook claims that it does not allow ads that have a sexual emphasis, such as sites with couple or group options. Promotion of casual dating, hookups, affairs, and mail order brides are also prohibited.
Oh, goodness. So I don't even know where to take the conversation from here because I feel like it is hypocritical. There is so much already happening, and I don't know if this is just the function of being at a company that's trying to manage and restrict and cover their own legal butts with these laws. And so they're just creating these like sweeping rules, but then it's about enforcement. And I don't know, I'm still at a loss. What have you learned from this, and what are you taking, and how are you navigating not only this situation, but going forward as you think about growing the reach and trying to reach more people?
You know, we really kind of see it as these big tech companies, they're basically just moderating us out, right? They have built tools and algorithms to look for certain things that they deem are, you know, outside of
Unacceptable.
the,
Yeah.
yeah, acceptable. And so, you know, we just need to keep talking. We need to keep you know, raising up our voices and fighting to get out of, you know, kind of that circular loop that we have been put in. And so, you know, I want to give a lot of, I want to be, you know, really mad and upset with the big tech companies, because I mean, they really are the kind of gatekeepers, and they are the ones that are keeping us from getting the word out to the people that need our product. But it's also just really a symptom of society and not normalizing these conversations, and so that, you know, the big tech companies can then reflect back that this isn't, you know, unacceptable. It's totally acceptable, and there are people that are doing it, and they're doing it successfully. And even the people that are doing it, and it ends, I mean, monogamous relationships end all the time as well.
Exactly.
So it's really just a matter of kind of getting the word out in a positive way, and as you are doing with Amory, just, you know, sharing your voice and sharing stories of others, and this is how we normalize and, you know, get to know each other and start to accept different paradigms other than the ones that society forces on us.
Exactly. And to realize that we are society. Each one of us is a microcosm of the world. And that's why I think for our listeners and for everyone they're connected to, is for all the work that we do to it's all the inner work. It's what I keep I'm on repeat on this, is like we're doing the inner work for everything, all the old binary paradigms, I'll call them, good, bad, right, wrong. This, not that, the other, me, the other, like all of those paradigms that get broken down. As we individually break them down, we are society. So we're like drops in the ocean. And then the more that we break those down, we create room and space for new paradigms to arise, which I do think, I do know is happening. It's not even think. It's like I see it, I know it's happening. And I'm glad that you brought up the fact that we could be angry at the big tech companies and we could push against and fight. But I think for me, what I've gotten to is they're just a reflection of us, right? I am them. They are me. It's an indicator of where we're still at in society at large. And to look at, though, the what our individual paradigms do as we gain power. So if we're in positions of power, our paradigm is going to be much more influential. And I think that that's something to be very conscious of, because we've got large institutions with massive amounts of power over what information is shared and what's not shared. And again, I can break it down into, you know, people working at these companies, nobody's bad. They're just like, well, these are the laws at play. This is what can happen to me or the company if we break these laws. And so these are the actions that we're going to take to filter out anything that could be potentially threatening to us. Like we're all coming from the sense of safety, and I include everybody in that. And I think that that's exactly why we need to create open places to have these conversations, because we need to learn how to create safe spaces to talk about things that still feel unsafe. And I would put sex in one of those very big categories there. You know, I'm still learning how to talk about that. And this, Amory, has been my exploration of it. So yeah, it's just like, but I can have all these beliefs, but we're still where we're at with society. You know, you're still trying to run a business. You're still trying to put this out here, just as I am as well. And censorship does become a bigger issue. So tell me where, knowing what you know now, how do you feel like you're going to continue navigating not only for your app and business, but also in this world? You know, how does this solidify beliefs you've had or change them, or has this changed your behavior?
That's a great question. Ultimately, this whole experience has really just taught me that we all have to get to know ourselves and find out what our own values are, and then just stick to those and let everything else kind of become noise. Because you can, and I have ADD horribly. I'm sure anybody listening to this could pick that out, but you know, just constantly kind of, you know, pushing back on these big tech companies and reminding them that we're working for good values. We're working for, you know, we are the exact opposite of the Ashley Madisons of the world. And those platforms are out there and thriving and doing just fine, right? And they have all kinds of problems. You know, when they got hacked a couple of years ago, we saw what happened when people's, you know, personal information gets out there and is, you know, thrown up on the web for everybody to see. Horrible things happen. You know, people committed suicide because of that. Oh, wow. And so, you know, just constantly remembering that data is important and the things that we can learn from the data. So really just kind of coming back to those core values of, you know, we are setting people up to have the best shot at a good relationship, whatever that may be. You know, it may be friends, it may be friends with benefits, it may be, you know, your spouse, it may be somebody that you're adding into your poly family, but just constantly, you know, remembering and reminding that this is the way that we go forward. It is with, you know, as you said, we are society. So it just takes one person at a time, constantly, you know, doing what they think is best for how society really should run and how we should set things up. You know, relationships are the most important thing to us and they come in everywhere. So really just learning how to relate to one another. And I think that's exceptionally important now too, right? Society we don't really know how to talk to each other anymore.
No, agreed.
Which is unfortunate, but I think it also gives us the ability to reframe and reshape how we talk to one another and just finding out, you know, I call it respectful curiosity. People love to talk about themselves as a general rule. And so, you know, if you come up to people that are doing something or they have a kink or whatever that you're interested in, just have a respectful curiosity, not, you know, with no judgment, and people will talk to you and they'll tell you things and just really sticking by what your boundaries and your rules were. You know, David and I, when we first started dating, we got invited to a kink party in New York City. And remember, I'm like this little country bumpkin from Tennessee, you know, come up to the big city. And when in Rome, right? Somebody's going to invite me to a kink party, I'm going to go, which I had never been before. I was so scared, but this was so many years ago, and that has just stuck with me so much. The fact that I come in, the boundaries were, you know, clear. The rules were clear, right? You knew what you could do. You knew what you couldn't do. They had a policy of, you know, everybody's allowed to ask for what it is that they want, right? You can come and ask somebody for things. That other person then has the ability to say no, but you shouldn't shame people for asking for something. But then, you know, once you say no, that's it. And you don't have to say no twice. And I just found that made me feel so safe in an environment where I could look at somebody getting flogged and I could, you know, just kind of get into the mindset of, I wonder why they like that or what, you know, what it does for them. We have a great story about at the bar, there was a man that was rolled up into an oriental rug and there was a sign there that said, you know, please step on George as you order your drink. he liked to be, you know, house furniture and stepped on, but, you know, leaving that party, the thing that was so much fun for David and I was like, oh my God, did you step on George? And he's like, yeah, I stepped on George. Did you? And I'm like, of course, you know, it did. I had high heels on and it didn't bother me. And George seemed to like it. So, you know, just remembering that sex is important. It allows us really to be free. Another story that David and I kind of talk about is, you know, you're especially like in times of Corona and you're isolated, right? And you have this kinky desire to clown tip. I'm from the South, right? So we have we have cow tipping, but we changed it into clown tipping. And if you think that you're the only person in the world that's just dying to find a clown and go and tip them over, you know, you're just so alone. You think something's wrong with you. Your mind can fill up with all kinds of thoughts, right? But then once you find out that there's somebody else out there that likes to tip clowns, and they're part of a community that they all like to tip clowns, well, your whole life has completely changed, right? Now you've been accepted. Now you have found other people that don't think that you're weird and are doing this kinky desire and making it work, right? They're still getting to tip clowns and they're still getting to raise families and, you know, work and be successful and all of this other stuff. That's just, I think, so life-changing. So
it is, and probably no longer shaming themselves. I think that's right. The biggest part is that you can release the shame when you realize, oh, maybe there's nothing wrong with me. There's this community of people doing it. It can be consensual and whatever it is. I mean, for me, that was Amory. Is I didn't know many people that were in an open relationship when I started the podcast and, you know, put my voice out there and our voices out there into the world. And then we have this beautiful community, and definitely don't feel wrong or shameful. In fact, it's been the complete opposite. So I can imagine that's the forum that you're creating through the app.
And it takes trust, right? I mean, when you're on that other side and you just don't think that you'll be accepted or that there's anybody else out there, it takes a lot of trust to state that I want to tip over clowns.
I love that you're using something so neutral as that. Very helpful in the conceptual realm, because there's still times for me where I'm like, ooh, can I be with that? You know, ooh, that's different. Ooh, that scares me a little bit. And to sit with that feeling of going like, ooh, it's only scary because I don't know it. And I don't understand, there's this, you know, reaction to make wrong, but it's just like, I don't understand it. So you said this, how did you call it? Respectful curiosity, yes. Of what other people are into and opening up that space and stepping into it and seeing it. I mean, I, in a very similar way, I've shared with my family my relationship structure, and that was 3 years ago. And it's taken now until this visit with my mom where she's like, you know what? I think I'm starting to understand it. I get it with my head. I can't imagine living it, but I can understand it. Like, thanks, Mom. That's huge. That's really big.
Right. Yes.
So,
I mean, even just acceptance from our parents, right? We're always constantly kind of yearning for that. And so that must be great to have her finally kind of seeing where you're coming from.
Yeah, it is. It feels great. It feels like I'm seen and understood. And I know that's one of my cravings, my needs or wants, is to be seen and understood. And I realize I can't always get that, and that's okay. But to be seen and understood is really, it's really beautiful, especially by the people that I love.
It is.
I'm curious, Amanda, where is your growth limit right now? Where I feel like you've talked about how you went through your own growth with your relationship with David. You've started this app, and I imagine by putting yourself out there, that has shifted. Where's your edge right now?
Oh gosh, I know how to answer that.
Yeah, that's and a not good just question. In the sexual realm. It could just be where you feel like you're pushed, you know, where you feel like you're growing, where it's still uncomfortable. Or maybe you don't know. So I'm always curious.
No, I mean, I think, coming back to the kids, right? So definitely, obviously believe in what we are doing and what we are creating. That does get sticky with the, you know, we have three children, 23, 20, and 13. And so I will say that, you know, having it, it can be hard feeling like you're being judged without, you know, as you said, that understanding before, you know, you've even come to the table. So I do worry about our youngest and how what we are doing and how society sees what we are doing affects her.
Have you talked to her about that?
Yeah. I mean, so out of our three kids, our 13-year-old probably understands what we are doing the best.
Okay.
You know, yes. I mean, she totally gets it, because part of our platform also it is just really kind of acceptance. And so that also has a big, you know, LGBTQ leaning. And, exactly. And so she knows that we are building a platform that's going to make it safer for for marginalized people and for women really to come to the table and put that sensitive information out there on the internet, right? Like that is just, it can be a really big deal for some. And so she definitely understands the fact that that her mother feels that the internet is flawed and needs to be reshaped, really, because the internet really kind of brings out the worst in all of us. And so building a platform to where people can feel safe because their data is being protected to the best that we can, and that they can be themselves, because, you know, being authentic is really, you know, something that she's learning at 13, right? Like trying to be her authentic self. And so she sees the translation in allowing our users to be their authentic self, and that relationships are changing. She definitely knows that. And because she came to us about a year ago and she's like, "Mom, I have a boyfriend." And I'm like, "Okay, well, have the two of you talked about what that means to the two of you?" She's like, "Oh my God, Mom." Well, I want her to know and understand that sex is normal, and it's something that you talk about and you learn how to communicate about it early on, and stating what you want
about it.
Right. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I guess my kind of growth limit, if you will, is kind of generational, right? Like there's definitely a certain generation that the millennials, I think I read a report the other day that like 47% of millennials claim that they are in an open relationship. Wow. So they're definitely doing relationships. They want to do them differently than they saw their parents or their parents' friends who, you know, 50% chance, you know, they got divorced. And this is just my own personal anecdotal kind of research. You know, I feel like a lot of those kids, as they saw their parents potentially divorcing over maybe, you know, an affair, that they've looked at it years later and thought, you know, man, did they really have to break up and do all of these things just because of, you know, mom cheated on dad one time or whatever. And so I think they're wanting to design their relationships to allow them freedom that their parents didn't have.
Oh my God. I see that. I feel that. I'm not at the point where I can probably discuss intimate relationship of what I saw in the relationship between my parents, but I can just say, yes, ditto. I think it's about the container that we create. And if we create the container where it's just there's this rigidity, it creates the context for lying, cheating, betrayal, like all of that. It's all about the container that we create. And, you know, that's of course related to what it is that we desire in a relationship, but I think we haven't had, or the past generations didn't really have the ability to, or, you know, the possibility to create their own open container, their own container, and whatever that looks like, to have their own agreements. So yeah, I'm hoping that this extends far beyond relationships, that this is like, what type of work do I want to do in the world? How do I want to be? Where do I want to live? It's all of these questions about what is it that I value, and how do I kind of become the creator of my life, and other people are the creators of their lives. And sometimes we overlap and sometimes we don't. And sometimes there may be differences, but that we all can be empowered in that way.
Yes, definitely. You know, and I studied democratization in school, and a concept that we talk about a lot of time is cross-cutting cleavages. So, and the fact that, you know, you can't understand somebody that is different from you until you put a face to that difference. Right. And I think that is just what we're doing. We're just creating a bunch of cross-cutting cleavages to where people can see different avenues to success.
I've never heard that phrase before. Cross-cutting cleavages.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like building a bridge across. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so funny. It makes me think when I was 17, I studied abroad in Belgium and I was an exchange student. I lived there for a year. And at that young age, I got like, oh yeah, there are differences for sure. Obviously we speak different languages, but there are so many similarities, and really being able to connect on that point above all, it makes a lot more room to have differences. And I think that now that's even more important, understanding where we can connect and then understanding we don't, and having that respectful curiosity is, Oh, it's just so important. And I'm so glad that your daughter and your kids are like understanding where you're coming from and what you're doing.
Yeah. And you know, I think we, you know, kind of teach them as well that for me, those differences are what make a relationship so powerful, right? Is because mm-hmm. if you can come to the table where each of you are working off of, you know, the things that the other does really well, and then, you know, looking out for your partner and the things that they're not all that good at, that's how you mm-hmm. get win-win pluses, right? That's how everybody gets what it is that they're wanting. And that actually makes happier people.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh my God. I can't tell you the relief that I feel in my relationship, specifically with Marty, for all the places that I wished he could fulfill me or be different than he was mm-hmm. and not recognizing that now it's just like, oh, this is what he does really well. And this is where, you know, where he's not meeting a certain need, but that's okay. Cause that's him and that's beautiful. And then I can have this need met over here. And it's just opened up this beautiful, beautiful space to actually accept people, accept my loved ones, accept how they are, accept how they aren't. And then realize mm-hmm. that we all are this mosaic, that we all fit into the mosaic, right? So there's some similar pattern there, but then we're also beautifully different. And yeah, that we get to bring that to the forefront and let that be a gift instead of, you know, our weakness. It's not, I see them as beautiful, beautiful gifts we can share with each other.
Amen.
And oh my gosh, I feel like we could continue this conversation more and more and more, but I will be respectful of your time. I would love for you, Amanda, to share anything else that's on your mind, anything that you want to put out into the world that you want the Amory listeners to know about you or about what you stand for and are creating in the world.
I would just ask, you know, for everybody to you know, look into what we're doing. I know it's not the sexiest thing, but give our terms of service and our privacy policy a read. They're exceptionally short, and that's because we have aligned interests. So, you know, what we do with your data is all, you know, spelled out for you right there. And because of the censorship that we're dealing with, that has made getting the word out so exceptionally hard. So we're really kind of left to, you know, reviews in the App Store. And so one thing that I would ask and is for anybody that is willing and has the time to leave us a review, that is how we promote ourselves. And even, you know, maybe if you're polysaturated and hashtag open isn't something that you necessarily need in your life right now, but if you believe in what we're doing and the community that we're trying to create, you know, still leaving a review, it helps us out so much. And just keep your chin up and stay sex positive and hashtag open, I hope will be a huge success in connecting people on a more real level where they are authentic and communicating and consenting with other adults and, you know, having some fun, getting some needs met, getting some, you know, desires, fantasies fulfilled. Like I said, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. And we can learn so much about ourselves and others and just keep fighting the sex positive fight.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Thank you so much, Amanda. Thank you for sharing your personal story and where you're at. I look forward to staying in touch with you and supporting your work and supporting these efforts as well and keep building. I think our communities are, you know, it's a Venn diagram and they're extremely overlapped. So yeah, look forward to continuing to support you. Thank you so, so, so much.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Amory. Giving us your time and attention means so much to us, so we thank you. If you did enjoy this episode, please consider sharing it. You can share it with people you know or give us a shout out on social media. We love that. Remember, we've got access to a full online course, Transforming Jealousy at Pay What You Want. And we always love people joining our Amory community as a patron. So if you've received value from this podcast or our podcast over the last 2 years, please consider joining us. Your small donations to Amory go a long way in making us capable of continuing to produce these episodes and sharing our learnings, which we love to do, as you know. So thank you for joining us. We love you, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.